I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes, eh? I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes, eh? I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes, eh? I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes, eh?
To blame for that song this morning because he said all we got is 15 minutes, so then that put this song in my head.
Nice.
Thanks, Horace. Kids, thank you, Horace. Thanks, Horace.
It's all your fault, Horace.
He's probably going to look at the computer and just start frowning instantly. Okay, so at the top of the show, in case you have missed it, there are two brand new hot, fresh, and delicious reviews for The Walking Dead game. If you wanted to know if you should pick it up, Ginger and I both are telling you how much we adore.
It was so good. So good.
So delicious. Also, you gamers out there, you want to be a superstar. Well, not just you gamers, you game developers, all of you. Make sure you go by the website and check out the article that is titled, So You're a Geek, Prove It. They're casting for a new show. You have until Monday to get it together.
I know.
Ginger, did you get it done?
No, I need to. I was talking to somebody about that last night.
Bad Ginger.
I know.
Bad Ginger.
I know.
Let's try one more time. Bad Ginger. There you go. There's what I was response we were looking for. Also, for those of you looking for yourself a job, Amazon.com's hiring. They're looking for a senior marketing scientist. Senior marketing scientist up in Seattle. Make sure you drop by our job boards. We get some good ones. That's our featured job for the day. You can find it on the front page, GameAndMatrix.com, if you want to click and see what else and who else is hiring, or you want to post a job. Do that.
Yeah.
Right there. Are you looking for a job? I wonder what a senior marketing scientist does. I'm now curious.
I don't know, but I think they should hire us.
Well, they gave us the money for the ad, so we don't want to push it, but
Ooh. Oh, well, nice. Very nice. Very nice.
Let's see. Well, looks like you're doing some traffic analytics and all kinds. Oh, this is a cool job. You get to work with various stakeholders, traffic channel leaders, pull data and perform basic analytical exercises, work with traffic analytics leadership to present key findings. Yeah, that sounds all kinds of complicated. They want you to have 5 years statistical modeling and so on, experienced SQL programmer. Well, that's about the only one I got. Advanced SAS expertise, advanced knowledge of both data step procs macro. Wow. And they want you to have an advanced degree in MS or a PhD in math, statistics, and economics required. Mm-hmm. They also want you to be good with people. Of course, you're working for Amazon. Looks like a good job for the right person.
Right. I have no idea who this is, and maybe this will mean something to some of y'all.
All right, what you got, Jen?
This is just a one little line deal because I have no idea who this is, but it just came up as breaking news. Disco legend Donna Summer has died. All right, I have no idea who that is.
What? Oh, my Donna God, are you serious?
53. Yep.
Oh, I'm hurt.
Yep. Apparently she was fighting some sort of cancer, and unfortunately the cancer won.
Oh, that is so sad, and Ginger has no idea who it is.
I have no idea who this is.
You know her songs is what you probably know and not who sings them. It's one of those, I'll find it during the show. Probably we'll close out with that one if I can get it to upload quickly. We'll go ahead and grab that. Oh, that is hurtful.
We're losing a lot of really talented people recently. It's not good.
Wow.
All right. What have we got? Comcast says Xfinity on Xbox Live as cable service does not violate net neutrality rules.
Well, we knew that one.
Yeah. All right. So this is GamePolitics.com this morning. In a post on the official Comcast blog, Tony Werner, Executive Vice President and Chief Technology Officer in Network and Operations, says that his company's video-on-demand service on Xbox Live, Xfinity, in no way violates net neutrality rules. In fact, he claims the service is not an internet service at all, but a cable service served up using cable resources and not internet bandwidth. Your Xbox 360 running Xfinity TV on demand essentially acts as an additional cable box for your existing cable service. This is an exciting development because it enables customers to watch their cable service video on demand in their homes through a device other than a traditional set-top box. In this case, using a gaming console that delivers Xfinity TV on demand over our managed network. Rather than delivering this content in the traditional way, we deliver our cable services, which is often referred to as video over QAM, or delivering it over the internet, as, for example, a Netflix or Hulu Plus would do. We are sending that cable service using IP technology to the Xbox over our managed network. He goes on to say that the talk of them prioritizing traffic isn't true because the service doesn't use internet traffic at all. There's also been some chatter that we might be prioritizing our Xfinity TV content on the Xbox. It's really important to us that we make crystal clear that, in contrast to some other providers, we are not prioritizing our transmission of Xfinity TV content to the Xbox. While DSCP markings can be used to assign traffic different priority levels, that is not their only application, and that is not what they are being used for here. All right, so it goes on, and he explains more. Finally, Warner says that they treat all traffic the same and they are committed to complying with the FCC's open internet rules established at the end of last year. It says many other services that are delivered to the Xbox 360 travel to the device via the public internet, and like traffic that runs over the public internet and is usually available both inside and outside of the home. Excluding our InfinityTV.com content, our Xfinity TV iPad app and NBC's digital properties like NBC.com, our broadband data usage threshold applies. We treat all of this traffic the same as required by the FCC's open internet rules, and the FCC order and DOJ consent decree consistently rated among the best in terms of the quality of delivering broadband internet services, including by online video providers. All right, so pretty much he just says, liar, liars, pants on fire. You'll read this more. It goes into much more detail. It's very long. GamePolitics.com this morning.
Ooh, yeah.
I know it's horrible. I'm going to lose my voice.
Well, no, I'm not being silent for that. I'm just amazed that this is the one time that Comcast is actually not doing something wrong and everybody's angry with him.
Man, I was angry. Well, it was not really Comcast. It's Time Warner here. I was mad at them last night.
Was yours out, too?
Yes, up and down. Yes. And it was just like, what in the world?
Yes, mine went down, and I was in the middle of chatting, and I was hot. Oh, what the?
I was chatting with some people over Steam. Hey, Blaster. I was playing Portal 2.
Ooh.
I love you, Blaster.
Yeah. I'm going to back out of that because later on tonight, you know, that's you and him. I got the wrestling oil and stuff like that. So, yeah. I have nothing to do with that. I noticed. La, 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 la. Okay. So, Activision and EA, you know, they were having that whole fight over the Infinity Ward poaching thing. Activision and EA have reached an out-of-court settlement, which signals the end of the legal action between the two publishers over EA's alleged poaching of Xfinity Ward heads Vince Zampella and Jason West. Activision and EA have decided to put this matter behind them. This is according to the Activision lawyer Beth Wilkinson, who said today after a hearing in the Los Angeles Superior Court, Activision had sought $400 million in damages from EA because of delays and disruptions that Infinity Ward caused by the departure of West, Zampella, and 40 other employees. The companies will ask the court to dismiss the claims, according to Wilkinson. Neither Wilkinson nor EA attorney Richard Kendall would comment any further. The terms of the settlement have not been publicly revealed, and the agreement does not affect the parallel case between Activision and West and Zampella itself, which will go to court on May the 29th. GI.biz is reporting that although the cases are linked, they are two separate entities. The Activision versus West Zampella case was brought up by the pair against their former employer in an attempt to recoup bonuses, which were allegedly promised to them but never paid, and to contest contract termination. EA's involvement was limited to a counterclaim from Activision, which accused its rival of prying the duo away from Infinity Ward in an illegal fashion to found Respawn Entertainment, later signed by EA. Yeah. Your horns are showing, EA. Previously, EA has previously publicly stated that it will support West and Zampella in ongoing action against Activision. It is not known if this settlement will affect the stance. Wow. Yeah.
I don't know, girl. All right. So, what have we got next? We have got a page that's not wanting to load, apparently. Da, 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 da. All right, don't feed the trolls. Troll slapping action coming to iOS and Android. Frozax Games is proud to announce that Don't Feed the Trolls is now available on the App Store, all iOS devices, and Google Play Android. Don't Feed the Trolls is a reflex-based game featuring hungry bears and trolls. The player must feed the bears spawning on the screen and slap the trolls getting in the way. Four game modes are available. In the classic mode, the player has 40 seconds to get 3 stars in each level. These stars are used to unlock more levels and progressively discover new characters. In the time attack mode, 100 bears appear and must be fed as fast as possible. The only troll hidden among them can be slapped for a bonus time. Yay, slapping the trolls. I'm so good I need to play this. The slap party mode introduces heavy troll slapping action. Waves of trolls show up faster and faster. The player must slap them all.
That sounds so dirty.
Yeah, can I put faces on these trolls? Finally, the versus mode allows two-player action. With the screen split, each player must feed bears and slap trolls before their opponent. In each game mode, many different characters add variety and challenge to the game. Among the characters, the player will deal with the speedy bear showing up faster, the sneaky troll trying to fool the player with his bear mask, the skeleton bear, the king troll, and many others. The game also features multi-platform online leaderboards mixing iOS or Android players and 20 achievements. Yay! All right, so let me see. Pricing availability looks like da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, hey, it's free on the App Store. But if you want the other two modes, those can be unlocked through an in-app purchase of 99 cents. Players can also perform an additional in-app purchase of $1.99 to support the developers and get their names displayed with the gold background in their leaderboards. Yay! All right,
let's go over
to GameNatrix.com. I've got pictures up for you. I think I might even have a trailer up for you, so go check this out.
Do it. You know, Ginger, that's very scary.
I know. That's so scary.
You know, I think I'm going to add Walmart to the lineup. Of people that we're going to start teasing about some of the things they do in reference to gamers. If you're going to carry games in your store, I'm looking at you, Walmart, I'm looking at you, Big Lots, then you need to actually have someone that handles that. Gamers, in this regard, are very fickle. You don't do stuff right, we start pointing and laughing, because that's what we do. Then we don't buy stuff from you because we figure you don't understand us. You're not one of us. So apparently, one of the writers over at VentureBeat, Mr. Evan Kilham, has me absolutely dying laughing. Walmart, apparently whoever handled the writing the descriptions on their websites for the games has a little grammatical glitch in their brain or something. This has gone viral around the internet. You've probably already seen the picture. The unfortunate blurb on the store's website includes such head-scratching comments as, "The Diablo 3 PC/Mac game revolves around an interesting plot which will keep you spellbound, period. Lowercase w with this next word, while you are playing, then a semicolon, and then the word and, then another semicolon, bring home the PC video game to solve the mysteries of the mighty barbarians, and then another colon," which doesn't go there.
I'm all talking and I'm muted. You know, somebody totally did this from their smartphone.
Yeah, probably. To be fair, now anyone who knows how ridiculous that description is has already decided whether or not they're buying the game on Tuesday, and people who don't know what Diablo is probably shouldn't be looking at the site to purchase a game in the first place. However, the internet likes to have its fun. So, Walmart, you need to start writing up every product this way. Just wrong, according to Evan.
You're wrong. You're just wrong.
Why? Why can... I don't understand. there's also, if you root your way around the web, people have been collecting these because this is not the first one that they've done wrong. I thought I saw something wrong when I was in there a couple of days ago when I was looking at, the games. I said, something's wrong with the sign or the description, and maybe it was. I just kind of dismissed it. Another thing that they did a couple of days ago is Evan also took a picture in Walmart of one of their signs. And it says, you know how they do the rollback thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever it is that they're selling here in his particular picture, looks like Pyrex, says it was $19.99. It's been rolled back to $35.
Nice. Nice.
They also got some about Mass Effect. The choice bit, in it, players continue the adventures of Commander Shepard utilizing extreme character customization, which is the hallmark feature of the series.
Wow.
The character customization is a hallmark. The Puss in Boots game. With the Puss in Boots DS game, you can turn into Puss in Boots, the legend, and it's spelled wrong, legendary hero of the movie from...
What in the world?
The movie, wait a minute, hero of the movie form, DreamWorks Animation.
Hey, Walmart, I got an idea. Hire us.
Wait, I'm not done. The games present, this is for Tomb Raider, the games present a world in 3D, colon, a series of tombs and other locations through which the player must guide Laura.
Oh, wow.
Boring. Bora? Boring. And you could go look around the web. I mean, there's tons of these. Who is working at Walmart that is making them look like just buffoons over there? Sad.
Wow. Yeah, Walmart, just hire us. It'll be easier.
Well,
yeah.
Most assuredly. Okay, Ginger, may I? Do you mind if I do another?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Go right on ahead. Mm-hmm.
Because I got this cute little game from...
What you got?
It's the Atari Circus game.
Oh, you're cute. It's a circus. You're adorable.
It's a good circus. Yes, you are.
just yeah, one. You've lost Twitter followers.
And not just in China either. They all up there like, what the hell am I listening to? Okay, so this is supposed to be a platformer. So Atari is, of course, one of the world's most recognized publishers and developers of interactive entertainment, announced the launch of Circus Atari on the App Store. Yay! This is a free-to-play puzzle platformer. Players perform as a circus clown, blasting out of cannons, flying through the air in a vertical climb to record heights. It's based on the Atari 2600 classic Circus Atari. Do you guys remember 2600? Ginger probably doesn't. Little cute little Ginger. It's making its mobile debut on your iPhone, your iPad, and iPod Touch. Atari, we need an Android version. In the ascent to the top of the arena, players will tilt their mobile device to guide their clown, popping balloons to launch high. That is so hot, Atari. Finally. To launch higher while gathering power-ups and coins along the way and avoiding the many hazards and obstacles of the arena. Players can enhance their circus experience with coins collected or purchased in-game so the players can pick up new clown characters as well as safety nets to help the performance of high-flying antics. You can download the game now at the App Store. Just to give you a few of the features, it is completely free to play with the option to purchase in-game items and customizations. You avoid pitfalls, ledges, and bumpers during exciting and challenging gameplay.
Oh, bumpers?
Bumpers, yes. Collect or purchase in-game coins to unlock additional content such as unique clowns with special attributes like convict clown, hippie clown.
Hippie clown.
I like convict clown. I really do. You can acquire safety nets to help you break your fall. It has awesome cartoon-style graphics and animation, which you can check out at our site in just a second. I'm uploading some screenshots for you right now. You pop balloons to climb higher on your journey to record heights. You can grab special power-ups to quickly soar through the air. And it has the whole game center and open faint integration for score leaderboards and achievements. The circus is in town. So make sure you visit the virtual Big Ten and download Circus Atari at the App Store. I am thinking this is adorable, and I want to play it. I like the fact that they incorporated the whole, you tilt the, you know, to move it around. So many of you don't do that. It took the classics, the people to come back from, like, the old school to show you guys, you young ones, how it's done. If you're going to put your game on the iPhone, it should have used some of all these cool things that they were talking about. I can tilt it and tap it and talk to it and, you know, that stuff.
Yes, that would be cool.
That makes it fun.
Yes. All right. What makes it not fun?
Uh-oh.
The wrath of gamers. That's what makes it not fun.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
All right. GamePolitics.com this morning, if I don't lose my voice. Wrath of the fans. Diablo 3 Metacritic user review score plummets. Ouch. If you want to have a good argument with someone on the internet today, comment on this story for starters. Because for as much as there is love for Diablo 3 today, there's an equal amount of hate. And there's a lot of hate going on for games recently. Some people who have strong opinions on Blizzard's latest release have decided to take it to the company by way of Metacritic, where they are giving it some pretty lousy user reviews. We won't argue the merits for or against that practice by the gaming community, but it's certainly having an effect on Diablo 3's overall Metacritic user score. Anyone that has tried to play Diablo 3 in the last day and a half understands the frustration of fans that simply wanted to play the game but could not log in. If Diablo 3 didn't require you to be always logged into Battle.net in order to play, many of the complaints Blizzard is having to deal with would go away. So how far down the rabbit hole has Diablo 3's Metacritic score gone as a result of bad user reviews? Well, nearly 2,000 user reviews have been submitted, and about half of them are very negative. The biggest complaints in the negative reviews don't have to do with the gameplay. They all hate the always-connected requirement of the game and connectivity issues. Those complaints have been enough to give Diablo 3 an average user score of 3.6. Chances are that Metacritic will eventually step in to quell the uprising, as they have done in the past for other games that suddenly and swiftly get their user score wrath of the community.
You know, if Metacritic would actually think of a way to make this work without this actually affecting the ratings, it would be really nice. This is out of hand. I understand completely the frustration, but it has nothing to do with the game itself, and should be taken up with tech support, because that's where the issue is. It has nothing to do with the gameplay. Tech support made it so it needed a persistent connection. Tech support is what caused you to have a delay in logging in, but it has nothing to do with the gameplay itself, and it's ridiculous that gamers out there, after all this time, you can't separate the difference.
Yes,
why?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe Metacritic needs to have a whole little click here if your complaint is about connection.
Technical. Yeah, about technical aspects, not the gameplay itself. So,
and that way, you know, maybe it has two reviews. It has one for the technical and one for the gameplay.
Which would be good, because then you would know when you pick it up. Maybe it doesn't run well with a particular video card. Come on, Metacritic. You guys
exactly.
have been around long enough to
exactly.
know this stuff.
Exactly.
This is idiotic.
Exactly. But no,
this
whole on all the time crap is
I don't like it.
Cool. And this is why we shouldn't have it, because, I mean, A, Blizzard. You knew Blizzard was going to get this wrong. But two, I mean, this is just crap. It's especially if I want to play the single-player mode that should not have to be online. There's no reason I should have to be online. This is crap. I mean, honestly, when I bought... several years ago, I was going on a very, 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 very long road trip, and I was going to visit people who I, A, didn't know, and were, B, very kind of boring. Anyways, I took my laptop, and I bought, I think it was Age of Empires. And I played Age of Empires, had my laptop plugged into the truck the entire time, and I played the whole way. And that was great. I didn't have to have an internet connection, and I could just play for hours.
You are exactly right. Especially, okay.
Nowadays, you can't do that.
You have to think about especially those of us who live in areas where we have inclement weather, at a moment's notice. Really, in Texas, literally, it's sunny and it's beautiful, and 5 minutes from now, it could be dark, stormy, and flooding, and the internet connection goes down, and then you can't play your game, and there's nothing else for you to do, especially like last night, case in point. My internet's down. If I was up trying to play a game, I can't if I wanted to play Diablo. If I just said, you know, I can't play online, I could at least play the single player. Let me have some fun or, you know, get my game plan down and how I'm going to play. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's stupid. EA already learned this lesson when they tried to do the same thing with The Sims. So what I would suggest you gamers, instead of going over to Metacritic and giving the game itself a bad score, why don't you get on the phone? Blizzard's phone number is on their website, and if it's not, I'm sure if you dig hard enough, you can find it.
Yes.
I'm not going to give you any tips on that, because that's part of what I used to do for a living. But if you look hard enough on the internet, and it won't be super hard, you won't be there for hours, you can find a phone number and just start calling. And hand it out to your friends. Start calling. You know what? We don't like this persistent connection. Now we're bringing it straight to you. We're not going to say the game is bad. This specific area right here is stupid, and we don't like it. And then if you're not going to fix it, I'm going to take my game back.
And I understand that it's supposed to stop people from being able to hack the game, so you can't, download a copy.
You can't keep a game. We all know there's no way to 100% hack-proof a game. I'm not saying give up, but this is not the way to go. You punish the people who have actually paid for the game.
And it's also supposed to keep cheating down in the multiplayer mode.
You know, honestly, I don't know very many people who hack a game and try to play multiplayer. They do play the single player. So I would say, Blizzard, take the hit like everybody else does. You're going to lose a few.
Yeah.
You just are. Especially, say, for instance, I buy a copy of Diablo and I want to share it with Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And all Ginger has to do at that point is create an account and start paying her subscription. She didn't pay the big old $30-$40 to get the game, but how are you stopping that?
Exactly.
With a key? How are you know it wasn't me on a different computer? Again, this is idiotic. You all have been around long enough to know better, Blizzard. And Metacritic, you know better. We'll talk about this later tonight. Evil. All right, so I just wrote the circus.
Totally evil. But you knew Blizzard was going to get it wrong.
I didn't know they were going to get it wrong. I was hoping they would get it right. So I got another story for you guys.
I'm a Battle.net live. They got it wrong then, too.
Yeah, Battle.net was horrible. That was one. I was one of the people that jumped in on that originally. I was like, the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
What is this? What is wrong with you people? Okay, anyway, so you guys that are looking to play Ghost Recon will be happy to know this. Ubisoft and Gunner Optics have partnered up on an exclusive bundle offer for Ghost Recon Future Soldier that will be available Tuesday. For a limited time, you can instantly save $40 when purchasing Ghost Recon Future Soldier together with a pair of Gunner Optics MLG Phantom Onyx, Vapor Onyx, and RPG gunmetal styles from BestBuy.com or Best Buy retail stores. With the help of Gunner Optics, Ghost Recon fans can now display their passion for the series while reducing eye strain and fatigue resulting from marathon gaming sessions. Or you could just go get LASIK surgery like I did. My eyes are fantabulous.
Mm-hmm.
To further promote the game and their partnership, Gunner and Ubisoft have also created limited edition Ghost Recon Future Soldier branded eyewear accessories. None of them are made for women, just so I can tell my gamer chicks, don't even look. The accessories feature socket sets, interchangeable temples for select Gunner gaming eyewear styles, and a Ghost Recon Future Soldier branded case. The launch of Ghost Recon Future Soldier, Ms. Jennifer Mickelson, who's the co-founder and chief of marketing at Gunner Optics, says is one of the most highly anticipated releases of the year, and an alignment with Ubisoft just made perfect sense. In-game, Ghosts rely on superior training and the latest technology and weaponry to achieve their objectives. For gamers, Gunner is providing the latest technology in visual performance in an effort to reduce eye strain while taking out enemies with precision, accuracy, and focus for hours on end. Combined, gamers can save a little cash with the bundle and experience Ghost Recon Future Soldier with the highest visual quality possible. To learn more about Gunner Optics, how to purchase or win yourself a limited edition bundle of accessories, you can find a Best Buy location with Gunner's eyewear collection, or you can visit our website where we have a link directly to where you can enter. Supposedly, if you've never worn the glasses, they're supposed to have a tint that filters out harsh artificial light, reducing your eye strain, has a wrap shape with a curved lens, which is supposed to allow airflow and maintain moisture near your eyes while providing a slight magnification effect, optimized for viewing digital screens and helping the eye muscles relax. It's supposed to be made of really some type of material that's supposed to eliminate distortion, impurities, and haze. Has coatings which reduces distractions by glare and reflections to help minimize eye fatigue and strain. The lenses are supposed to be large for wider viewing angles and flat temples that allow for comfortable wearing of headsets. And they sit out of the box ready for 20/20 vision, or can be used with your glasses, your contact lenses, and so on and so forth. And they said, why don't you just wear them all the time when you're working? You don't have to just wear them for gaming. I'm not a fan of Gunner Optics at all. When I met them at PAX, they seemed very anti-girl. I don't know if they've changed since then, but I was not at all excited. Even when I went to talk to the rep, I was like, you know, where are your feminine-esque styles? And it was like, well, you know, I was like, are you really going to throw the girls don't play games at me thing? Do I really need to point out all the women in this room that are actually here, not working, but here at PAX because they're gamers? I got no comment. But guys out there, if you like them, go right ahead. And I'm also not a fan of Ghost Recon anymore. I think I'm done with them. I think we're breaking up. What do you think, Ginger? Are you going to get yourself a copy? Ginger, May, you are muted.
Oh, my God. No, most likely not. No. I'm holding out for a whole nother shooter game that I've been hearing rumbling of, and I'm hoping it's true. I have nothing substantiated, but I'm hoping.
What?
My Stargate Resistance coming to Steam, supposedly.
Ooh.
Oh, girl. Yeah, it's going to be on. If that comes to Steam, you're never going to see me again.
Yeah, we're going to see you again because, you know, I will come onto Steam and be all up in your game standing in front of you like, you shooting Ginger. Ginger. Hey, Ginger. Girl, what you doing? Just pop up right when you're about to shoot. You're like, I got him, and I pop up. Hey, Ginger.
Oh, no, see, that's not how I played that game. No, I was a scientist. I was out in the middle of it. I was like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be healing you. I'll heal you as soon as I kill this guy.
I got to say, and I don't mean to speak ill of Ubisoft. I'm probably one of the most hardcore Ghost Recon people I know. I've been waiting for this one. I don't like anything that they've done.
No, I don't. Like I said, I didn't like that. We could see the people when they were hiding.
Yeah.
I didn't like the whole weird little line thing. That was annoying.
It's confusing to me because I'm thinking, oh, I see you. Because it's red, which means I can shoot you. That's the way I've
exactly,
been.
Exactly. Three. what was the third one? Oh, there was all guy characters. Why can't I be a girl? Come on, how hard would it be to put a girl in?
Rainbow Six Vegas has them.
Exactly.
Call of Duty has them.
Exactly.
I don't understand what's the whole thing. And Ubisoft, of all people, didn't put a girl in their game.
I know. Come on. A girl.
You, of all people who created the Fragdoll, cannot put a girl in your game. A girl character.
Yeah, just how hard would it be? Just, you know, hey, click here if you want to be a girl, and it turns into a girl avatar. Come on.
It's not hard at all. We all know how this works. Ugh. Ugh. Ubisoft, why you no work right?
I don't know. I mean, I played it a couple of times, and I was just like, I don't know. It couldn't keep my attention. Usually shooters will get my attention for a little bit. No, this one just had me for like a day or two, and then I was like, eh.
Well, they don't hold my attention for very long unless I have some fun people to play with. And Molly, we got to play with Molly Pop over at Weedy Gamer, and their staff, or I got to play with them that night. And I couldn't find anything to laugh at, you know, something that I would have fun. I mean, I enjoyed them, but I was mostly bored, honestly. And
yeah.
If
you bore me, I'm going to forget about your game.
That's pretty much it, Ubisoft. I'm not happy.
Not happy. All right, I have to read this one just because the name makes me laugh. Because, yes, I am a 13-year-old boy. Toot Toot USA, a children's learning app from Game Lab app. All right, Toot Toot USA is a new version of Game Lab's popular Toot Toot ABC with American narration and four new animals. Three cheerful trains travel around their brightly colored world. Oh, yes, they used you in colored. That's so cute. World-carrying noisy animals to and fro whilst helping kids learn their ABCs and to count from 1 to 10. Pick your favorite train. Oh, they used you in favorite two train to have a race across the countryside or tap through the different stations to see and hear 26 unique animals. Poke around through the screen to interact with the train and the scenery or try the question mark button to see what exciting additions pop up. The useful hold to select the button menu means little ones can't accidentally quit or access the menu from the game screen. Easy to follow narration guides you through the counting and ABC modes and provides lots of positive feedback. Recommended for ages 1 to 4, Toot Toot USA is a charming and exciting introduction to mobile games. All right, I have to say the useful hold to select menu button. I've got a three-year-old nephew. That would not stop him. That little boy, oh my God, he is amazing. I love him. All right, so seriously, you put like a computer or a laptop or an iPad in that boy's hands. Oh, he already knows what he's doing. He will go directly to his games. He knows how to get them. It's good. It's awesome.
Oh.
All right, so can I read another one?
Of course, darling. Go for it.
Sheep Up! Sheep Up, a new puzzle platform game for iPhone.
I just saw when you posted that, and I was giggling over here to myself.
A new puzzle platform game for iPhone has just been released on the iTunes App Store by Bad Seed Entertainment. Sheep Up is a mobile game that uses the tilt control to move a jumping toy sheep on cardboard platforms. The main character, a tiny toy sheep, has been stored in a cardboard box together with other old toys. One simple input, multi-directional tilt control gameplay, and one simple goal. Help the jumping toy sheep escape and reach the top of the box. Sheep Up, the perfect pastime game. simplicity, accessibility, and usability the main focus throughout the design process in order to make everyone the target audience. Not very well translated, so just a little bit of warning, the game may not be either. Keep in mind these points, a huge variety of gameplay elements have been created and put into colorful and enjoyable settings. Everything in the game, starting from the main character up to the soundtrack, is designed to make you laugh. All right, so that sounds kind of cute. They do not give me a game price, so I don't know how much it is, but it is for the iPhone, so I can't play it anyways. But it's called Sheep Up, so go check it out. And I've got this over on GameNatrix.com this morning with some images, logos, all that fun stuff. So go check it out. Do it.
Do it. Wow. Yeah. I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday. Okay, so we got some late-breaking news we have to share with you. One of our listeners yesterday told us that someone had stolen his things, and he also just reported to us on Twitter, Mr. Joe Hill, congratulations. The cops just dropped his things back off, and they got his stuff, and they caught the guy that stole it. That right there is all kinds of awesome. See, Joe, you made our news this morning.
Yay! Joe is now famous.
I got to say, I'm happy for him. It's very, very, very rare that you recover your things. Usually when they're gone, they're gone. I just start saying, let me see what else I can get. Yeah. All right. And never scroll because I just did.
Never scroll.
I scroll and I lost my story. This sucks. Oh, my God, it sucks.
Do you need me to grab one? I got one.
You're going to have to because I scroll.
All right. Crossfire Europe goes on the prowl with new Predator game mode.
Ooh.
Hunters will become the hunted across three new maps. SG Interactive is putting players in the fight of their lives with their new Predator mode, the latest gameplay addition to the intense free-to-play online shooter Crossfire Europe, which, by the way, I'm still ticked off at you, SG, because I can't play that here in the U.S. Fix it. In the new game mode launching today, one player spawns as a predator with the goal of turning all other soldiers into mutants by infecting them with a contagion. Factions and allegiances go out the window when survival mode becomes the only concern in the frenzied new game mode. To add even more suspense to the gameplay, when only a few soldiers remain, one player will emerge as the commando and become the sole chance humanity has for survival. European players can experience the new fast-paced combat of Predator mode by registering for the game on the game's official site, which is crossfire.gamerage.com. Again, fix it. I want to play it here. Thank you. The emergence of the Predator is the result of covert biological weapons research ordered by the British military. A Royal Marines war hero, and a scientist targeted... A Royal Marines war hero and a scientist started the research and then disappeared under mysterious circumstances. Although the government covered up the incident, the weapon still remained, causing the mutations that are beginning to spread across the globe. Now player factions Global Risk and Blacklist must put their differences aside to stop the terrible new threat from spreading. Predators will be getting their pick of victims thanks to three new maps SG Interactive is releasing as part of the content update. One is Mansion, the site where all the mutations began. Dark Village, one of the first places that the Predator surfaced, was an innocent village on the outskirts of a populous city. And Scenic Spot, a popular tourist spot in southwestern China, became a ghost town practically overnight. All right, so Crossfire Europe is a fast-paced military combat shooter that follows the conflict between two competing mercenary forces, Global Risk and Blacklist. Players choose a side and then engage the opposing faction across multiple gameplay modes, including Team Deathmatch, Elimination, Escape, Search and Destroy, Mutation, Ghost, Hero, Biohazard, and all-new Predator mode. All right, so if you want to check this out, GameMatrix.com this morning. Go check it, GameMatrix.com. Do it. And Corey's all quiet.
Oh, no, answering a post. Somebody's asking about King of the Nerds, which you all should be entering. Somebody's asking on our Facebook. Okay. So, I would like to, we're probably going to talk about this later tonight, and we have to because it is absolutely awesome. Can you hear me, Ginger, by the way?
I can totally hear you.
Okay, making sure. You got quiet, I wasn't sure.
I was yawning.
We would like to introduce you to a new website called ekgaming.com, and they could very well be the company that kills GameStop, Best Buy, even Play and Trade, Walmart, all of them are going down. apparently, this is something we've talked about on this show often, and we'll mention it again tonight, but this is all about pre-owned games. Consumers love them, publishers hate them, and retailers are making a hefty profit on them. The obvious solution, as we've always said here, is to give some residuals to the publishers, and this company's doing just that. Mike Kennedy, who is the EKG CEO, said it's such a great industry, and right now for the last couple of years, publishers are at war with retail, consumers are at war with publishers, and it shouldn't be this way. We should worship the ground that these publishers and developers walk on and not hate them so much. I have to agree. I don't say worship, but I agree that there should not be all the fighting. The idea behind EKG is simple. They sell used games, and the publishers get a 10% of the sale price. Did we not say this?
I think you did, yeah.
Over and over. Kennedy said, why can't we just change things so it works for everybody? And that's what we're trying to do. And there's a lot of people that think it can't be done, and they may be right, but it's worth a try. This should have been done years ago.
Years and years.
The website has been in the works since 2010 and was originally called Postal Gamer. I remember that. One cease and desist letter from the maker of the game later... and it became EKG, I remember, and it launched just 2 weeks ago. Kennedy previously launched GameGavel.com and eBay for games and has good relationship with the industry. He says he's always trying to channel that into something that we hope will make the industry better. I love his quote that says, we don't want to kill off bricks and mortar retail, but that's something now potentially going to disappear if it doesn't change. Mm-hmm. He said it's not about taking on specific retailers. It's about changing the way retail works before the publishers find more damaging ways to do it. I have to agree with him. We'll be talking more about this later on tonight. Make sure you're here at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you can put your two cents in. Tell us whether you like it or hate it. I am all for the idea. I have been saying this for years. It should work just like the music industry. We use your stuff or we sell it to somebody. You should get some money from it. I'm not saying the full price, but, yeah, 10% is good, and everybody's happy. You got your 10%, we got our 90, and the gamer went home with a reduced-price game that hopefully works because we all know how that works, and everybody's happy. And why can't we do that?
I know. Why can't we? That would be nice. All right, what have we got? Dungeon Defenders, the Quest for the Lost Eternia Shards, Part 3, Aquanos, available now on XBLA and PSN. This underwater arena boasts the greatest challenge yet. The epic Dungeon Defenders quest continues with the quest of... can't talk this morning. The epic Dungeon Defenders quest continues with the quest for the Lost Eternia Shards, Part 3, Aquanos DLC, available now on Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, and Steam for 320 Microsoft points and $3.99, respectively. Set in the submerged ruins of Aquanos, a fallen metropolis deep underwater, you must defeat the Sharken, who will barrel through your defenses. Fishwerven, the Kraken, and more to find the yellow shard and get one step closer to rescuing your parents. Hey, at least you're not rescuing the princess, right? Anyways, can you solve the riddle of the deep challenge mission and survive while water floods Aquanos's protective shell? Find out with an all-new campaign mission, challenge mission, and PvP battleground, as well as a slew of new water-themed weapons, the Kraken boss, Fishwerven, and Sharken enemy, and a new pet! Yay, new pet! All right, so I've got a YouTube video up on GameNatrix.com. Head over and check it out. Yeah, if you've not heard about Dungeon Defenders, it is rated E10 plus by the ESRB. It's available for download on Xbox Live Arcade for 1,200 Microsoft points and on Steam. And PlayStation Network for $14.99. So check it out. I've heard it's really, really, really good. I've not played, but I've heard it's very good.
We've gotten a bunch of screenshots and stuff from there. I have been in love with the game. I do want to play it. Just don't have time. Yeah, the video is funny. Well, we have some video up, I think, still. Right. Well, Kim Swift, perhaps you've heard of her. She's known as the lead developer, or I'm sorry, designer for Portal. Yeah, that little game.
I've never played that game. No.
That little game. She, in speaking with GamesIndustry.biz, explained the reality of working for Valve. Remember, they had that whole thing about their employee handbook and you know, things that shouldn't really be outside of the company. She says she guesses that for her, Valve as a company definitely has a lot more freedom for developers working there than a lot of other companies. She discussed the recent release, of course, of the Valve's employee handbook, which was subtitled A Fearless Adventure in Knowing What to Do When No One's Telling You What to Do, and explained that we don't have any management. She said she disagrees with that statement, says they do actually. They do have management. There's a board of directors of the company. There's Gabe Newell. Those guys at the top of the company definitely have opinions on how things should be run. She says you can choose the project you want to work on, but there are definitely people behind the scenes making decisions for the company. And she said, to me, that's normal. If it was a company where there was no structure at all, I think things would run completely amok. Swift is now working at Airtight Games on a puzzle adventure game. And she says she thinks working at Airtight is actually a little more relaxed. She definitely feels at home there. And one of the reasons that she left Valve, yes, people, she's gone from Valve, which means we may not get any more portals, at least not in its original form, says that she wanted to see what else was out there and to see if there might be a better fit for her personality-wise, and she's found it there at Airtight. Yeah, you guys didn't know a woman did Portal, did you?
You know what? For it to be as beautiful as it was and as awesome as it was, you know, because I was playing through it again last night, so much fun. Had to be a woman.
See?
Had to be. All right. And especially as, all right, cover your ears, especially as bitchy as GLaDOS was, had to be a woman. Some of the stuff GLaDOS says, oh my.
You're not nearly as fat as your predecessor.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God, some of the things. What was the one, now I know why your parents gave you up or something like that. Abandoned you. And just different things. What was the other one? Something about, I might get a hobby. Who knows? Resurrecting the dead. Talking about I'm going to kill you and then resurrect you and kill you again. Man. Love that woman. All right. So, Blizzard issues an apology for Diablo 3 server problems. This just came in from GamePolitics.com this morning. Blizzard has issued an apology to all the players over the world that suffered through trying to log into Battle.net. Play Diablo 3 over the last few days. Yeah, the company says that they have been humbled by players and by the gargantuan task of trying to keep Battle.net servers up and running as millions of people, many in vain, attempted to play the game. As of now, they say everything is stable and players should have no problems logging in. One thing players that were waiting to use the real money auction system later this month should take particular note of. The launch date for it has been pushed back to May 22nd. All right, so what did they exactly say? They say, Diablo players, we'd like to extend a very sincere thank you to everyone who joined the global Diablo 3 launch celebrations this week, as well as to everyone who was ready to jump into Sanctuary the moment the game went live. To that end, we'd also like to say that we've been humbled by your enthusiasm, and we sincerely regret that your crusade to bring down the Lord of Terror was thwarted not by mobs of demons, but by mortal infrastructure. As many of you are aware, technical issues occurring within hours after the game's launch led to players experiencing error messages and difficulty logging in. These issues cropped up again last night for the Americas and Europe servers. Despite very aggressive projections, our preparations for launch of the game did not go far enough. We've been monitoring the game 24/7 and have applied several optimizations to help our systems better weather the global rush. As of late last night, specifically 11:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on May 15th, all systems have been online and running relatively smoothly. We are continuing to monitor performance globally and will be taking further measures as needed to ensure a positive experience for everyone. We greatly appreciate everyone's support, and we want to sincerely apologize for the difficulties many of you encountered on day one. Please visit Battle.net support site or support forums for the latest service-related updates. Thank you again for your patience while we reinforce the gates of Sanctuary and further strengthen it for your onslaught, respectively, Blizzard Entertainment. Yeah. In other words, hey, we screwed up. Our bad. We, you know, underestimated to save ourselves money, and in doing so, we screwed y'all over. And our online service sucks, and we got it wrong. Unsurprisingly.
I I think they should have just been forthcoming and saying.
Well, you know, that's exactly. I mean, beyond that, the all online all the time service, whatever that sucks. But you know that they also did fewer servers and whatnot to save themselves money in case the game did not do as well as predicted, which they're idiotic for. I mean, come on. You've got, like, umpteen billion servers for WoW that have, like, no population on them. Why can't you just, you know, use one of those?
Okay, well, I got two for you, if I may, Miss Ginger.
What you got? What you got?
Well, some of you will be saying this sometime this week, possibly. Or not this week, or soon at least. Why so serious? Sony Online Entertainment recently revealed details for its latest DLC pack for DC Universe Online called Last Laugh. Surprisingly, actor Mark Hamill, you know that guy, he's in those Star Wars movies. What's his name? Luke Skywalker? Yeah. He will reprise his role as a Joker after claiming he was no longer voicing Batman's greatest nemesis. Actor Adam Baldwin will return as Superman, and actress Arlene Sorkin will also voice Harley Quinn. The upcoming DLC pack features new mechanics for safe houses, new weapons, and the first set of light-powered legendary characters. A couple of more details are the shield. Players can unleash this vicious new weapon to bash their opponents or hurl it to take them down from a distance. Wonder where they got that from. Apparently no one is safe now that heroes and villains can invade each other's safe houses in 4-on-4 battles. That's what I was waiting for City of Heroes. Something called Graviton Technology Recovery. Players will be tasked with unscrambling teleporter codes the Joker has mixed into fragments. Yes. Right at the Watchtower or Hall of Doom, players must retrieve 8 code fragments to successfully rebuild usable teleporter codes. When I said Hall of Doom, my brain just went into a Saturday morning cartoon land from like the 80s. Wow. Also, bomb disposal. Thanks to the Joker, the encryption on the email terminals has changed and can only be bypassed by the robot, the Joker, provided players must gain control of the robot and either upload the data to their HQ or add a new encryption to keep their enemies and the Joker away from it. Heroes can also rescue hostages, while villains will be freeing arrested criminals from opposing safe houses. They also have your headquarter battles. It's going to be a two-part crusade. Up to 16 players, 8 heroes, and 8 villains will face off for the ultimate player reward. At the request of Superman, players must take over the Hall of Doom, while villains, egged on by the Joker, will breach the Watchtower in order to create chaos. You also have your Legends characters, Combat Illuminates, with the introduction of the first light-powered Legends for multiplayer combat. Players will soon have access to Kilowog, a Green Lantern, and Amonsur, who's a member of Sinestro Corps. Of course, they have a tweet from Mark Hamill, something that he said back in October, which says, "Hello, goodbye, Joker. I've enjoyed every minute behind the wheel of the Crown Prince's crazy car. I'm going to miss him more than I can say." A year earlier, he also told Screen Rant that Batman Arkham City game would be his last project as the Joker. Some people are starting to believe that he might be the Joker himself. Pick a side.
Wow.
I'd say if you got a job, Mark, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Heath Ledger as the Joker in the movies, but the voice during the cartoons was always Mark Hamill for me. When they, I think they were trying to do a new Batman and they tried to stick somebody else, and I was like, oh, hell no. This is not working for me. I like the voice. I like the man that voiced Batman in the animated series way back when. I don't like this new guy. Although you don't want to see the guy that does the Batman voice. Oh, God, his voice does not match his face. Oof, please don't show any more pictures of yourself ever again. Never, ever, ever again. All right, on to other news. Here is an interesting tidbit. This is going to be short, and then Ginger's going to take it home. Remember the game we were talking about earlier in the week, Zombies Run, the iOS game?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, apparently it's leaking out that Apple allowed this particular developer to take pre-orders on a game. And they also provided full support for their Kickstarter project. Developer 6 to Start was given the go-ahead to take pre-orders of Zombies Run by Apple, both as part of the Kickstarter and then also after the Kickstarter had finished. The only caveat was that the studio was told it must stop taking orders outside of the App Store once the game was released. A version of the game was released for pre-orders and Kickstarter backers separate from the paid version that asked for authorization via a password. Over 3,000 copies of the game were distributed this way. Nice. Apple. Maybe they're trying something new, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. I guess we'll see.
Hope it works.
All right. I didn't get my stupid story of the day today, so here we go. Islamist in northern Mali burn TV sets used to play and watch un-Islamic entertainment.
What?
Yeah, the Associated Press reports that residents in the northern city of Gao in Mali are not happy after Islamists smashed television sets used to play video games and watch television shows that were considered un-Islamic. The effort was intended to show residents that they are under Sharia law. The Islamist fighters took up a strong position in the northern part of the northeastern African country after they were pushed back by Malian government troops in March. Since that time, they have been gradually imposing a strict form of Sharia law on citizens in areas they control. The news comes from local residents who asked not to be named for fear of reprisal by the insurgents. Residents attempted to protest the actions of the militant group in the streets of the city, but were quickly dispersed by gunfire. A Voice of America report notes that the Obama administration has called on leaders of military groups in both Mali and Guinea-Bissau, to agree to West African demands to return to their countries to democratic rule. So this goes on and it gets into the whole political thing. The thing I want to focus on is, dude, you bust my game, I bust your head. No. See, video games don't make me violent. Stupid people do.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't believe this. This is just kind of... Wow. All right, so that one was kind of short. Can I grab another one, maybe?
But of course, darling.
All right, well, then I'm going to go with... What am I going to go with? And why are you not loading? I will grab one. I swear I do. All right, Bejeweled. PopCap game launches Bejeweled HD for iPad. Some of you are still playing this.
Yeah, my cousin is one of them. And when I call her and tell her it's for iPad, I will be listening to Blink Blink. Row. Double row. Yep. Whatever it says.
Mm-hmm. All right, PopCap Games, the worldwide leader, today announced the launch of Bejeweled HD for iPad. This premium native adaptation of PopCap's blockbuster franchise delivers eye-popping HD graphics via Retina display support for popular game modes, Classic, Butterflies, Diamond Mind, and Zen. Also offers game center support and optimized features for iPad. The game is launching worldwide, rolling out in geographic territories over the next 24 hours, and can be purchased for U.S. $3.99 via the Apple App Store and iTunes. The iPad has become a de facto standard for tablet gaming and is an ideal platform for the Bejeweled franchise, notes Giordano Bruno Costanable. I probably butchered your name. I'm very sorry. I hope you're hot. Bejeweled franchise business director at PopCap Games. Seriously, Italian guys. This native adaptation is one of our best yet and will enthrall players with fantastic HD graphics and optimized gameplay. As Bejeweled further evolves, we'll continue to bring exciting new iterations, updates, and content to millions of new and existing players. Awesome. All right, well, no, not really. I don't like Bejeweled, but whatever. Some of y'all do, so hey.
Girl, have you played Bejeweled before?
Yes.
That is some addicting business.
It is. It's just not my kind of...
Oh, crap. Well, I got some good news in for you guys. You know what? We're going to do this anyway. I'm going to share it anyway. So remember we were telling you about the Walking Dead top of the show? Well, they sent us over some interesting information. Oh, God, do I have time to do this story is the question. All right, so apparently critically acclaimed Walking Dead, which is features an innovative tailored narrative design, tops the XBLA charts, yes, for 360, yay, PlayStation Network, PC, and Mac. This is from the digital publisher Telltale Games, and Robert Kirkman, who's the Eisner Award-winning creator and writer of The Walking Dead for Skybound Entertainment and Image Comics, announced that their internally developed Walking Dead game has sold over 1 million copies across all platforms that it's available on. The Walking Dead is Telltale's fastest-selling game series to date, with the first episode of 5 titled A New Day topping the sales charts as the number one best-selling title on XBLA for 2 weeks straight. It also secured a top spot at the top of the sales charts in its launch week on Steam digital distribution, as well as the PlayStation Network. These sales milestones do not include its figures for the iOS version of The Walking Dead, which Telltale is planning to launch later this summer. The upcoming second episode of the season, Starved for Help, is expected to launch across consoles this June. June? Are you guys kidding? You're going to make us wait till June to see what happens? Oh, my God. Anyway, you can check out... The Walking Dead on our website, along with some screenshots that we just got.
So you've already played through the first three episodes then, right?
There's not, that's not three episodes, that's one. That we've, that you've, did you get to the end?
No, but I've got three different ones.
There's, no, there's chapters, but that's one episode. All those chapters are one episode.
Okay, so three chapters, one episode. Okay.
Yeah, so you're, yeah, but when you get to the end, you're going to be like, oh my God. They do it just like the show. They pull you in, and then bam, they end it, and you're like, oh my God, no! Wait. That was just getting to the good stuff.
Yeah, so I know, I could have sworn it shows episode one, episode two, and episode three.
I think they have them labeled weird, but once you get to the end, you'll see, but because you only have the one. All right, it's time for us to get out of here. I think we're going to cut off here in a second. I wanted to play a little Donna Summer so that you all could remember. We already cut off. Anyway, guys, see you guys later on tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You know where to find us. Heaven. Ginger.
Later, boys and girls. We're going to miss you, Donna Summers.